This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
May here on the show. Hey everybody, hope you had a fabulous weekend. Kate Delaney at the helm of this ship for the 16 years, I realize today, as we get deeper into May. Sad doings over the weekend, of course. Now we're at 200, and you say 200 what? Mass shootings this year. Can you believe it? We're not even 6 months into 2023. This time, Texas Mall was the territory in Allen, not far from where I used to live. In fact, about 10 to 15 minutes max away, a place that I used to go every once in a while. A lot of other people had the same thought that I had on many of those weekend days, just to go and shop, run in and out, get some good bargains at some high-end stores that normally would really run you some steep prices. But Mauricio Garcia had a different idea. The 33-year-old who decided at 3:30 in the afternoon he would open fire on people that were shopping in this outlet mall open-air facility. People that had jammed the outlet mall with their cars and their strollers and everything else. So that happened on Saturday. A social media page that appeared to belong to him. He killed 8 people at this outlet mall, had some very extreme beliefs with rants against Jews and women and racial minorities posted since September. It looks like he had also cased out the place several times and had looked for when it was extremely, extremely busy. There are a lot of accounts from people who were there and survived, people running away from the shots, other people who saw people that he shot, and then some who arrived on the scene, like Stephen Spanauer, whose son was working in the mall, so he flew to the area, basically in his car, as quickly as he could get there, and then talked about what it was like once he arrived.
The child came out from under what I believe was the mother, might have been a relative, I don't know how the relation is, but was started to wander around asking for help, saying, "Mom, Mom, Mama, Mama." So I just scooped the child up and took him about 15 feet away so he or she couldn't see what was going on. There was so much blood on the child I couldn't tell the sex. I just asked, "Are you okay?" Checked for wounds. The first Allen police officer pulled up, and he said, "Good God Almighty." I said, "Take the child. Is he hurt?" I said, "I don't care if he's hurt or not. Take him because he doesn't need to be here."
Wow. He also said, and he's been all over various television news outlets, there he was speaking with CNN, that he was very excited when he saw his son and just hugged him a little bit deeper and of course, was trying to help any of the people that he could since he got there so quickly. Some of the victims included two young sisters that were in elementary school. One was in fourth grade. The other was in second grade. Daniela and Sofia Mendoza, their mother, is in the hospital in critical condition, but both of the girls were shot immediately and killed. So they've got grief counselors at this elementary school because the school and the friends of these young girls are so shook up. There's the 20-year-old security guard at the outlet, Christian LeCur, that people talked about, that he was just a sweet 20-year-old, as his sister describes it. People saying in some of the stores they just felt safer when he was around. There was the girl from India who was killed while visiting the mall with a friend. She was a couple of days away from turning 28, and she was an engineer. She moved to the United States to pursue her master's degree, graduated, and then had gotten a job in the Dallas area. And there are more stories of these, you know, sad victims that just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And as I already mentioned, there are a lot of different portraits being put together about the gunman who was killed by an officer who arrived, who was nearby, and immediately was able to find him and take him down, and then other officers arrived. So thank goodness for that, because I think lots of lives were saved, as he had so many targets and so much ammunition. So there are protests that are going on in and around the mall. There are protests that are going on all over Texas. There are kids holding signs, "I don't want to be murdered in school." And the conversation once again turns to, where do we go from here? The governor of Texas talks about mental illness and says that that's what has to be ramped up, more facilities and ways to deal with mental illness. And others are saying there needs to be an assault ban. Why can't there be an assault ban? And why can't there be stricter gun regulations? So the voices are getting much, much louder as the mass shootings continue. There were other things that happened over the weekend. There were some more heartbreaking things that happened, one in Brownsville, and we'll talk about that on the lighter side, if we can go there, hopefully. It was about the coronation in the UK, and a lot of Americans wanting to watch, curious about King Charles officially getting his crown. I mean, listen, he's been king. This is a ceremonial thing. But it was a ceremony that, you know, millions of people in the UK didn't care about the weather, lined the streets just to get a glimpse of the gold carriage and any piece of the procession that they could possibly see. And there were plenty of Americans who did the same thing. The First Lady Jill Biden was on hand. There were some other celebrity types, but it was more low-key than some of the other events that have come out of Buckingham Palace or Westminster Abbey, which, of course, is where the ceremony took place, than in recent years, even though this is the first time there's been a coronation in 70-plus years. You know, that was always the joke, that he was waiting forever to take the throne, and now he has taken the throne. And it was kind of interesting to see some of that pageantry. But then there is that reminder, and I said this in a previous show in the back of my head, we broke away from the UK, right? We didn't want a king. And, of course, this king is symbolic. Not a ruling king, we all know that. It's a prime minister in the UK, but yet there still is a reverence for it. And some that don't have an appetite now, too, because there were also some protests in the UK over the whole royal coronation and the idea of royalty. And given what is happening there, people struggling financially and other issues that are plaguing the Brits, but I would say the royal fans probably still outweigh those that were complaining. Sam Bankman-Fried wants his case thrown out of court. Why do you care? Who is he? If you haven't heard, think crypto. And how safe is it for our mail these days and the people who deliver it? We're talking about it on the flip side.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Steal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What I want to know is what their habits are. Who cares where they have the habits at?
Coming up, but I talked about the other deadly thing that happened over the weekend, the fact that there were 8 people killed, they were all Venezuelan, and at least 10 injured when an SUV plowed into a crowd at 8:30 a.m. on Sunday in Brownsville, Texas. That driver is 34-year-old George Alvarez. He was charged with 8 counts of manslaughter, 10 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in connection to the crash. They're still waiting for the toxicology report to come back. He has an extensive rap sheet, according to the cops. His bond, $3.6 million, he's not going anywhere. And again, that toxicology report, that's a big hint, is something that's being heavily weighted, I think, in this situation. So witnesses who were there say it was a shocking thing. Like, he just swerved right into the people and gunned them down with his car like they were bowling pins. So is it intoxication? Was it an accident? Was it intentional? They're trying to find out. They're trying to eliminate what it wasn't. Most of the victims, like I said, were Venezuelan. They were all men. They had spent the night at a shelter. They were waiting for a bus to return to downtown Brownsville, which is the easternmost border crossing into Mexico. We have lots of listeners in that area. And there was a disaster declaration last month that was issued, you might remember, and I know we talked about it. 15,000 migrants, mostly from Venezuela, crossed over in a single week, and so they were just overwhelmed trying to process people. There is an overnight shelter in the city, and it manages the release of thousands from federal custody. So the police there are working with the Venezuelan government and other countries' embassies for identifying the people. And you see the
SUV and the heavy, heavy damage. There was no passenger in that SUV, but there were some people who, because he ran a red light, lost control, flipped the SUV on its side, hit actually 18 people in all, 6 died at the scene, then a couple others later, 12 critically injured before the total rose. And there was one, it was so eerie, I was kind of looking around, flipping around, trying to get more on this, and there was one man who said he was hit, he just all of a sudden was in his face, he was hit by the car, he was hospitalized with a broken arm, and he was told by the people around him, the driver was yelling insults and taunting people at the bus stop before the crash, which that's all captured on surveillance footage. So what the determination is yet to be seen. So much depends on, I think, what happens with this toxicology report. All right, Sam Bankman-Fried. You might remember him. There were a lot of celebrities that were endorsing his FTX. He's the FTX founder. Think crypto. His attorneys say the government failed to properly explain what offenses the former CEO of the bankrupt crypto exchange committed. They're urging a judge to toss out most of the charges against him, which includes the big ones, fraud and bribery. He's pled not guilty to 13 charges. FTX had been one of the most respected and recognized crypto platforms before it collapsed into bankruptcy in November. The 31-year-old under house arrest and a $250 million bond on his head. So he's waiting trial at his parents' home in Palo Alto, California. And he has said, oh, well, I did mishandle some business, but he's denied engaging in fraud. And, of course, there were so many stories about partying on the islands in the Bahamas and the people that work for him and how much money they were raking in. If convicted on all counts, he could face 155 years in prison. A trial is scheduled for October. So at this point, he sits and waits. And there are other celebrities that are being pulled into lawsuits. We've talked about that before. Tom Brady being one of them, and his wife, Gisele Bündchen, his ex-wife, Gisele Bündchen, also. They were doing Super Bowl ads, and people are saying they were endorsing it, and that pulled more people in. We'll see where that goes. But first, there's his case and what happens there. It, you know, they're separate deals because the civil courts are one thing, and then this is criminal, so that's one avenue. But some of the stories of the lavish nights and the amount of money that was spent on food and some of the other things that happened with this company, of course, outraged many. This is sad to hear. I mean, it is tough delivering the mail. I think of the great mail carrier I have. He's so nice. His name is David. And in the beginning, especially when I made a move, he was always locking on the door, leaving things, making sure I knew what was happening. And now it seems postal carriers have more than just kind of the rain, snow, dogs, things to deal with. They are getting robbed at gunpoint. Like, this really is happening a lot across the country from east to west and everywhere in between. In fact, robberies of postal carriers have gone up 78% to 500 in 2022. So the people who are delivering the mail, the letter carriers, are demanding action from the Postal Service. There is an association, the National Association of Letter Carriers, outraged, angered by the assaults, armed robberies, even murders that have happened increasingly. Of course, that's unacceptable. So they should be able to do their job pretty unimpeded. I mean, you still have the elements. That's why that was the whole idea of what they would deliver, no matter what the elements were. But they're talking about new measures to address these robberies, which, of course, are taking a toll on letter carriers that deliver 162.1 million pieces of first-class mail every day. So they keep quadrupling, quadrupling. One Milwaukee letter carrier, Andre Cross, was shot to death, which then, of course, they were caught, the people, and it led to three arrests, but that doesn't bring him back. So what do you have? I mean, you can't have security following them around, but somebody has to be watching their back. So who does that? You think about it, especially what's targeted. And I guess I'm not surprised by this, but the special keys that they use to access collection boxes and deliver mail in apartment buildings. And there's tons of apartments. In fact, during the pandemic, there were more apartments that went up all over the place, all over the country. So it's common. I mean, did you live in an apartment? Did you have people deliver mail that way? Of course, you probably did maybe at some point. I certainly know I did. And what's happening is typically the scenarios, they say, is they'll go in to do their mail thing. And then someone will come in with a gun and say, give me your keys, hurry up or I'll shoot you. And they are pointing a semi-automatic handgun at the carrier. Whew. Wow. That is scary, right? You know that they would deal with things. You would have interactions with people. There were things that could certainly happen. But that's awful. So theft of mail carries a penalty of like up to 5 years in prison. And then you could go from there as what assault would carry, and you could just add up those years, but they got to catch them. That's the first part about that. And boy, the Postal Service is having enough time struggling to keep its head above water, let alone have that on top of it with everything else they're doing. And of course, there were complaints about mail in some areas not being delivered, and then there have been the errant mail carriers that have been arrested for getting rid of mail or hiding mail, or, you know, why are they hiding mail? Probably just not wanting to deliver it, whatever the reason is. There are just a handful of stories, but nothing like what the robberies are. There's way many more robberies and things like that that are happening to the carriers than the craziness the other way around. And it is a service that could, you know, there are threats that it could go away because it's almost bankrupt at one point. It's hard to keep it going with the crush of the competition out there, and then you have this mixed in between. So be kind to the mail carriers if you still want to get your mail. And if you, listen, do you get mail? Do you want to get mail? Do you like to get that package or two that comes the way of USPS? Of course you do. Of course you do. All right, coming up next, it is time to hear what's on your mind. We're going to the mailbag.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. When it comes to the debt ceiling, the Biden administration thinks raising it is a no-brainer.
There shouldn't be negotiations on the debt limit. This is something that they should get to regular order and get to work on.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says President Biden will make that clear tomorrow when he meets with congressional leaders. Closing arguments have wrapped up in the rape trial against former President Trump. A lawyer for E. Jean Carroll told jurors his client was exactly Trump's type. Trump denies any wrongdoing and claims Carroll made up the story to sell copies of her book. Jury deliberations will begin tomorrow. New rules for airline accountability have been outlined by President Biden. The proposals include changes in the way passengers are compensated for flight delays. Airlines would now be required to offer compensation beyond just refunds for controllable flight cancellations or significant delays. John Schaefer, USA News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
All right, we didn't have to dig very far. Thanks to all of you. Remember, you can send me your thoughts on anything and just let it fly, however you feel. You are free to express yourself. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. All right, so we got this one from Joseph, who says, "Oh, Kate, you know, I, like you, watched the Kentucky Derby, and I heard you talking the other night about the Derby winner and the odds and the great story behind the horse and whatnot and the game of racing, and then, of course, mentioning that 7 horses died at the Derby. How much of a pall do you think that puts on the horse racing industry?" Oh, I think you know the answer to that. It's a terrible thing that happened, and that is always the cry from so many people. How ridiculous is this? How safe is this sport? What's happening to the horses? I mean, you had 2 horses that had to be euthanized because of injuries on the day of the Derby. 5 horses died leading up to the race, and you can't ignore that. I mean, I saw there was something I was reading where there's a big question mark. Does no one seem to care? And the answer is, I think a lot of people care. And I mean, a lot of people. A lot of people who protect horses care and then say, well, what happens to these horses, first of all, when they don't make it in the industry? Because that's another side of it. Do they get destroyed, et cetera? And then to have that happen over the greatest horse race we have in the United States, 150,000 people on hand, it's casting a shadow. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, of course, they're investigating every single one of these deaths of the horses. There were all the horses, there were different stories about what happened. I mean, Freezing Point and Chloe's Dream were euthanized after the injuries, like I said, before the Derby that was won by Madge. And then four had catastrophic leg injuries. Two succumbed to these sudden causes from undetermined so far reasons. Another had a neck injury after flipping in the paddock. You know, this is weird because this is a spate of incidents that's, what, like 4 years after 30 horses died at Santa Anita Racetrack in California, and it shook the industry up, as it should have, and it resulted in a bunch of safety reforms. So you have the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, which they established another organization that set safety and doping rules, because that was part of the problem, the whole doping thing, and you know, a set of regulations that also take effect on May 20-something. So the question of how the stunning occurrence of the fatal injuries at the Holy Cathedral of Horse Racing affects the sport during the height of visibility, where you've got the other Triple Crown races, Preakness and Belmont Stakes over the next month, and how horse racing responds is critical. How horse racing responds. They have to have the safest possible conditions. I mean, these are beautiful animals that are doing incredible things, are asked to do incredible things, and the difference between what can happen to a horse on a track, the condition of the track, the field, the whole thing, it all of that does come into play. But then there's the other part of the pre-existing health conditions, training sessions, inspecting the track surfaces, and this is what's going to happen in all of these scenarios of the horses that they had to be euthanized. So they got to evolutionize everything from track condition, etc., and make those improvements fast. That's what has to happen. So let's go to this one. This one is from Mark, who is listening to us in New Orleans. And Mark says, Kate, every time I tune in to listen to you, you are a breath of fresh air, except for I hate when you talk about the weather, because usually it affects us here in Louisiana. You mean you don't miss tornadoes and you would rather have hurricanes because you've moved now deeper into hurricane territory? I would equally like to have none of those things, Mark. I would not like to deal with tornadoes. I would not like to deal with hurricanes. And I have dealt with both. I have lived with both. I can't say I have not had my life upended, because when I was a little girl, there was a hurricane that happened and we were at the Jersey Shore. And I remember my grandmother, my great-grandmother, demanding that someone rush to the Catholic Church and get a bunch of candles, holy candles, and they were lighting candles all over the place. And sure enough, half of the dock, just the whole thing, like just pachoom, got cut off. Boats sank and all kinds of things happened, and it was scary. And I don't know that I really fully understood it. It was a big old house that my family would rent, cousins, everybody took turns coming down. And we happened to be right in the middle of that. I do remember the feeling of people around me who were very strong, my family was that Irish stock of never let them see you sweat. And I was seeing some people sweat. and I was like, six, and I can remember that. So, no, I don't want to be in any of those circumstances, but I've been there where people are picking up the pieces with doing what I do, and it's awful to see it. And of course, human life is the biggest thing, and we know that the difference between really the tornadoes and the hurricanes is the forecast, and you get warning whether you choose to heed the cone of uncertainty or certainty or whatever when it comes to the hurricane predictions. It still is different than tornadoes, the twisters that pop up, but, you know, they're getting tornadoes in Florida, too. So all of that is part of what can happen. All right, this one is from Diane, who says, Kate, I must admit, I was never much of a television watcher until the phenomenon of streaming, and now I've been pulled into this by kids, by other people in my life, and shows, some really quality shows. So I do have to say that I have subscribed to a couple services, and I do watch that way, and I have watched some regular network television, and I feel for these writers in the middle of this writer's strike. From everything that I've heard, I saw an interesting picketer. I was reading some of the signs because they were showing the picketers, and one of the signs said, so you just don't get another yacht. Is it that simple? Is it just purely about money, or are there other concessions? Well, in the end, it is purely about money, about the writers not getting enough money, and because of the change in what's happened culturally, which is streaming, which you mentioned, and the residuals they would normally get, or what a writer's room looks like. I'll tell you just one quick story that I heard about from a writer that I know. Is one of the things that happens is, let's say, like a Netflix, for example, order a show. They want a new show. So they have some writers put together these new shows, but they don't really get paid per se the way they normally would if the show doesn't get picked up, but then they have the specs for the show. And then sometimes they, down the line, hire other writers. What? So, wait a second. So I'm creating a show, and then I might not even do the show, but then I might not even get paid, but then down the line you can conveniently pull that out. Oh, that's not good. And so I can see that certainly in this case, this is where you would want some strong representation, because there could be a lot of misinterpretation, and I think there is a lot of wiggle room for the people who are putting on the creative side so much of the work into it, and they're not seeing anything on the back end. And of course, that's not every writer, that's not every scenario, that's not every show, but enough that it warranted this idea of a strike. And it might go for 100 days. It might go into September, which is when new shows would kick off on the networks, where there would really be felt. And some of the shows have been halted. Their shooting schedule has been halted. And, of course, late-night television, there's no writers there. So the normal comedic, you know, Jimmy Fallon's, et cetera, they're not doing their shows. So there's already been some disruptions. It just seems and feels, and in my conversation with this person who may come on down the line, it seems like it's going to be a long-term deal, a long-term walkout. And that means that there will be a lot of things that will be, that won't air, that won't happen. Like, for example, Michael J. Fox had what I hear is this incredible documentary about his life with his family and other elements of his involvement in Parkinson's and what the illness is doing to him. And that was supposed to go off on the 12th of May on Apple, and he doesn't want it to. They're stopping it, even though it's intact, because he doesn't want to cross that picket line. He doesn't want to have that air. So pretty upending of the industry, I would say, at this point. And it seems like there doesn't seem to be any middle ground at this point, so we'll see. All right, coming up, hands up for heroes. Boy, do we need heroes. There are always heroes, and we're going to talk about them next. Girl,
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you know anybody that's done something just absolutely amazing, please put me in touch. Just send me a little description of what they've done and a way to get in touch, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. We hear these everyday stories, some of them just absolutely amazing stories, and there are good people in this country that are doing wonderful things to help just their neighbor, help somebody who's in trouble when they happen to run into that situation. And then there are people that just do absolutely extraordinary things in maybe even in the line of duty that you say, well, you know, that's what they do for a living, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they would find themselves doing the thing that they did. Like, in other words, there may have been an end around or something, and certainly we know what happened in Uvalde and how what that response was, that there was such an outcry. Well, what happened in Allen, Texas, there just are no words to the brutal, disgusting, unbelievable act that happened in a very, very busy day where someone pulls up and just opens fire and people are sitting ducks. But there was an officer who doesn't want any praise, doesn't want plaques, doesn't want accolades, just did what he felt like he had to do, immediately rushing in as he happened to be in the area. And his name is Zach Horn. And he didn't even want his name released, but of course that's going to come out. And so he sprinted toward the high power rifle while everyone's running away. And he took him down. You know, he did what he had to do, and you could hear that in his voice when he said that. And this is a guy who's not looking for anything. He's trying to process what happened, is what pretty much is being said. He doesn't want people praising him and whatnot. There even has to be an attorney, because so many people want to talk to him, an attorney representing him. And he just released a statement saying that, you know, he's doing well and he's just processing the life-altering tragedy. But thank goodness for him, because as he moved the way he did and didn't have the firepower that obviously the assailant did and used his training, knew what to do, did it, boom, he took him out, and there could have been more people. While Allen, Texas tries to grapple with this, and they're holding vigils, and they're putting up crosses for the eight people who died, and they're still processing parts of the crime scene and all of that, because he acted the way that he did and kicked in right away, immediately, the second he knew that he could do something. He definitely saved lives, because you could see that there were more people that were in the sights of this gunman, because, of course, there's video all over the place. So hands up for that hero cop. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. And even in the beginning of the show, you heard from a father who ran to see if his son was okay. His name was Stephen Spanauer. And he's a hero of a different sort, because he, of course, was running to see about his son, but he immediately, once he knew his son was okay, he had texted him. He was right in the middle of it, and he tried to do whatever he could to help the people that were there, including helping the young boy who's obviously was covered in blood, as he described it sadly, and got him out of that situation. So he acted and tried to do even CPR on one of the kids one of the people that was also down, and tried to do whatever he could. And there were other stories like that in this situation. When you don't know what's going on and you can hear that awful sound, and you don't know if you can hear it off in the background, but then it gets a little bit closer, and to stay and stand your ground and then do what you can to help those around you, that's something too, I would say, for sure. And we have so many other examples of incredible things that people are doing, like I said, to help other people, you know, in their everyday lives. They see something and they don't turn their back and run the other way. They try to help where they can. And I hear those stories every day. So we're going to have more of the everyday stories, maybe, that you haven't heard a little more often on this show, because I think it's really good to know that as much as we're hearing about some horrible things, there are some absolutely wonderful people in this world. I always believe in the better nature or angels of people, which is what keeps me in a crazy space. I call it plate spinning world more optimistic. I can't tell you much about the Westminster Dog Show other than it's off and running and that people love this show. I've had a lot of people ask me about it in my everyday life, and I say that this show, the No Drone Show, is about what we're talking about, so we talk about the horrific things. Is anybody asking you, who do you think is going to win the Westminster Dog Show? You know, you've got miniature poodles, and you see the groomings of how these dogs are groomed, and this is all being held at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in New York, where they play, of course, the U.S. Open. And then you have the cutest can be pugs who are in their breed group. And so it's about judging for breed and then ultimately the best in show and how you go from one category and how you're chosen. What are the judges looking for in certain dogs? You always have a Maltese that's thrown in there. I saw a cute Maltese the other day. I mean, this is big business and big competition for sure. And I love to see the entrants. Some of them are people, you know, there's that funny movie called Best in Show. And if you watch that and then you watch the Westminster Dog Show, it would make you laugh out loud comparing the two. But you even have young children who are so poised, who are walking these dogs, doing what they need to do with the dogs. And it's about that moment of the judgment of the dogs. And I just think of my own Guinness, how he would be a disaster in these circumstances. If I was ever wearing a number and I was expecting him to run exactly the way I wanted him to run around and to be groomed exactly the way that he needed to be groomed, I would be out of my mind, because we would be booted immediately is what would happen there. So I know all kinds of training must go into this. You know, Guinness will run with me. If I decide I want to run, he can run for miles and then he's done. But he will not be trained to go around in a circle and do the thing, some of the amazing things that these dogs do. So there you go. You know, it's interesting because even with the dog show, there is betting of some sort often for people. Americans, I just saw an interesting story. Americans bet $220 billion on sports in 5 years since the legalization, right? And we don't have legalization of that everywhere in every state, but in a sense, we do, because it's been cleared for all the states to offer it. So that's how much has gone down. I mean, there's like betting for all kinds of things, but especially football is the thing that is so huge and really, really pulls people in, right? It has opened up some opportunities, more tax revenue for states. There's a revenue stream for casinos, etc., a way to keep people away from unregulated offshore gambling websites, I guess. But then, of course, there's the danger of becoming a chronic gambler, and there's always those helplines, and I see them all over the place as a reminder of that. All right, my friends, be safe, be sane, be happy. This is the way.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.